'tis the season for a year-end wrap-up from The Lesbian Book Club with Claire Lydon. This is Denise from My Lesbian Radio, and we are so proud to have Claire and The Lesbian Book Club on our My Lesbian Radio feed. Happy holidays from all of us, and here's to a spectacular 2017.
Hello and welcome to episode 26 of The Lesbian Book Club with me, your host, Claire Lydon. This month, I'm going to do something a little different to shake it up because it's Christmas. So I haven't got an interview this month. Rather, I'm going to do a rundown of the best festive lesfic on the market. So if you're in the mood for a little holiday reading, this is where you can find it. I'll also be reviewing the Rainbow Awards, which just took place in December. And I will be giving you my book picks for the year just gone. So let's get into it. So first, of course, we're going to get down to the Amazon UK and US lesfic charts to see what is riding high in this final month of December 2016. And just to say, I can't quite believe it's at the end of 2016. It's gone very fast, but that means I'm getting old, clearly. Anyway, so flying high in the UK and US lesfic charts as I record this on December the 14th is Eliza Andrews with her book To Have Loved and Lost, which is a clever title because, you know, which of us hasn't loved and lost? If you haven't, hands up and write in and I'll send you a candy cane from my Christmas tree because I've got quite a lot on there. This one is very American. It's got a basketball hoop on the front and the blurb talks a lot about MVPs and point guards. Now, that means nothing to me because I'm British and basketball, you know, it's a kind of American thing that exists. We know it exists, but it's not really a big thing in the UK. I know it's a big thing in the US and my wife is a big fan because she's a big sort of world sports fan, but nobody understands it here. So all I know about basketball is that you've got to get the ball in the net, and I think that's a good sporting motto to live by. Generally. But this is the second month in a row that Eliza Andrews' book has been up at the top of the charts, and it's garnered a stack of reviews, which must mean it's striking a significant chord with readers, and that can only be great. Plus, it's 99p, I think, to the end of the year, and it's in Kindle Unlimited. So, frankly, I think that's something in its favour because everybody can afford, I would imagine, 99p or 99 cents, or get it free on Kindle Unlimited. So, there you go, one for your reading list. Also doing well in the US and the UK is Robin Rosso's Outside the Box, which I've got to say has a very odd cover of a hand holding a box, right? That, you know, so far so pans people. Again, aging myself. it's got a hand holding a box, but check out the hand. It looks like it's a really weird hand. I don't know if it's just me, but it looks like a chicken foot or something. It's a very strange hand. But anyway, beyond the hand on the cover, this one is described as a sweet romance between Alex Franklin, a realtor, and her niece's friend's aunt, a woman called Jenna. So, yeah, Alex is like a second mother to her niece, and her niece plays soccer, and her niece's friend, aunt, is her guardian, and they're going to meet. And if you like a modern romance with a smattering of family and kids, this one is for you. Still up there also is Gia Hawkins' memorably titled tome, Must Love Chickens. You won't get many lesbian romances to the pound called Must Love Chickens, so well done, Gia, for that original title. This is the age-old tale of a city girl goes to the country for a job to change things up and ends up falling for her boss while she's plucking chickens, I suppose, or something. But, you know, as long as there's poultry involved, I reckon, being it's a romance, things should work out fine in the end. And, you know, there'll be happy chickens running around, pens and things. Also, almost at the top of the stack in the US is one of my all-time favourites, Georgia Beers, with the third in her puppy love series, Dare to Stay. Now, this one deals with the owner of Junebug Farm's doggy shelter. If you haven't been keeping up, Georgia's got two other books in the series. One of them's called Run to You. The other one is called, ooh, can't remember. Not called, can't remember. The first one. Anyway, and it's all about a doggy or animal shelter in sort of upstate New York. This one's about the owner of the shelter, Jessica Barstow, and Jess is all work and no play until the arrival of a hotshot new reporter from the big city named Sydney, who's come to cover the annual fundraising telethon jamboree, and I think some sparks are going to fly between Jessica and Sydney. But, you know, everyone knows that Sydneys are never good news. I don't know what it is. It's just the law of the world. Or perhaps I'm just biased, remembering Sydney from Dykes to Watch Out For. I don't know if you were a fan of Dykes to Watch Out For. I'm a huge fan of that, and Alison Bechdel. And Sydney in that got together with Mo, and I was just shouting at the page. Shouting. What are you doing, Mo? Fabulous but flawed. That was Sydney. But I'm sure this Sydney is going to work out okay in the end. So that's this week's chart rundown. Hurrah! And our last one for 2016. But we're also motoring towards awards season for the big, like the Grammys, the Oscars, the Brits, the BAFTAs. They all take place in Jan, Feb, I think. And we also, in December, had an awards in lesbian LGBT fiction. And that was the 2016 Rainbow Awards, which were announced this month. I'm a big fan of the Rainbow Awards because their judging system's very egalitarian. I've actually judged in the Rainbow Awards last year, so I know how it works. They have judges from all over the world, and your book gets read by a huge, like 5-10 people, and then they all give their marks. So you have people from all walks of life. It's very good. And it's all voluntary, run by the fabulous Elisa Rolle, and to enter, authors have to donate to charity. And this year, the awards raised $14,000 for LGBT charity. So that is brilliant. So well done, Elisa. And also huge congratulations to all the winners and the runners-up. And I'm going to give you the key categories, lesbian categories, and the winners. So the authors taking the gongs were as follows. Best lesbian fantasy went to Karen J. Werlinger for The Beast That Never Was. So if fantasy's your bag, go and grab that one. Best lesbian romantic comedy went to Love Bites by Lila Bruce. Best lesbian fantasy romance went to Beyond Gold and Glory by Barbara Ann Wright. Best lesbian sci-fi went to Starless Nights by Ray D. Magden and Michelle Magley. Best lesbian contemporary fiction went to Backcast by Anne McMahon. And I still haven't read an Anne McMahon book, but I'm going to get her on the podcast and I'm going to read a book by Anne McMahon. Best lesbian thriller went to Cold to the Touch by Carrie Hunter. Huge congrats to Carrie. She's a former podcast guest and all-round good egg. Well deserved that one, because I've read that one and it is brilliant. If you hadn't read Carrie's Dark Peak series, rush out and buy it now. Best lesbian debut went to Meredith Katz for her book Beauty and Cruelty. So well done to Meredith. And best lesbian contemporary romance went to Claire Ashton for her book Poppy Jenkins. And again, huge congrats to Claire. She's also a former podcast guest, also fantastic, all-round good egg. And I think Poppy Jenkins was probably one of my standout books for 2016, so well done to her. Oh, and also a mention, I actually scooped a runners-up prize in that best lesbian contemporary romance category for my book Nothing to Lose, which I'm thrilled about, so hurrah. And finally, the big one, the best lesbian book ever in the world, well, for 2016, went to Anne McMahon again for Backcast. So big congrats to Anne McMahon. Yeah, and as I said, well done to everyone involved, the judges, because I know what a huge job it was, to Elisa, and yeah, hurrah. So that's the Rainbow Awards. In personal news, since we last spoke, I have been writing like a demon, frankly, and then editing like a possessed demon, in an effort to try and to get the final book in the All I Want series out the door. Honestly, this one has been difficult because it's the last one in the series, and I want to tie everything up in a satisfactory way and pull all the loose threads together. And when I started off with it, it was going to be another novella length, because All I Want for Christmas was a novel, and then the All I Want for Valentine's, Spring, Summer and Autumn, they've all been novella length, so sort of half a novel. But this one has mushroomed, it's fair to say, from being a novella, and it's now a full-length novel. Hence my estimate of getting it out in December, which would have been doable had it stayed 25,000 words. It's now 65,000 words, so no, it's not doable. So sorry about that if you're waiting for it, but I guarantee it's going to be worth the wait. So it's going to be out in January now. But that's okay. I'm pretty happy with what I've written. I sent it to my editor this week, and so I'm just waiting to get it back, and then I can start on another round of editing before it gets shipped off to some beta readers and see what they have to say. But I've got the cover all ready to go, and I can't wait to finish up the series, really. Although I will be sad to see them go, because I've been writing Torrin Holly. It's incredible. Think about it, really. I've been writing them for over a year now, and it will seem really odd to not be writing them next year, because it's like, you know, this year, every couple of months, I said, oh, okay, time to write the next Torrin Holly book. So, yeah, but it's going to be nice to round the series off, and that's it. I have had people say, is that going to be the end of it? I'm pretty sure it will be. Never say never, but it's going to be the end of it for at least a few years anyway. And talking of next year, All I Want Forever is edited and out the door, I'm going to be planning my books for 2017. Now, I already know the next project is a new book in the London series, and I have the book in mind after that too. But I think I can probably get three novels out next year, so that's my plan. But if it's only two, that's okay, because next year I've got big travel plans. Yes, I've got a 60th birthday in Hong Kong, and I'm going to Japan as well. I've got a wedding in Canada, and I'm going to go to the US, and I've got a wedding in Australia, and I'm going to add Thailand on. So my wife and I are going to be away for about 2-3 months next year. But I'm going to be writing while I'm away as well, so hopefully I'll be able to get it all done too. And also, going to all these different places, I'm hoping will really get my creative juices flowing, and yeah, flooding them with different story possibilities. So I'm really excited for 2017, actually. Fresh books to do and lots of travel. So I think it's only going to be brilliant. That is me. It's only going to be brilliant. I'm going to be doing a roundup of my year on my blog and how it's been for me, and also posting my goals for 2017 at the start of the year. So check out my blog at my website, which is www.clairelydon.co.uk/blog, to have a read of those. Last year I said I was going to write three novels. I've actually managed two and four novellas, so I smashed it, as Joe Wicks would say. As I said, All I Want Forever will be out in January, and if you don't want to miss that, go to my website and sign up for my mailing list, and as a bonus you'll get a free Christmas novella called It Had to Be You, which I love. It's one of my favourite stories I've ever written, and it is being given away exclusively to you if you sign up for my mailing list. It's not available to buy anywhere, so you have to sign up, and it's getting rave reviews from readers, actually. I'm really pleased. I've had a lot of emails about it, and it's even somebody's started a Goodreads thing about it just so they could review it. So that's very nice. Anyway, that's enough about me and my personal news. Now we're going to get on to more of me talking. And I'm going to go and do a roundup of the best Christmas books this year. So, Christmas reads. Are you a lover of Christmas books? Well, I have to say, for someone like me who is a lover of all things Christmas, I mean, I really love Christmas. I love the build-up, especially. But I love the lights, I love the drinks, mulled wine, mulled cider. Who doesn't love that? I'm going out for mulled cider tonight, actually, with fellow author H.P. Munro. The never-ending chocolate, the food, the presents, the bonhomie, goodwill, Christmas music. I love Christmas music. Give me a wham on the radio and I'm a happy girl. But Christmas books had passed me by probably until about 3 years ago, when I was I read my first Christmas romance. It wasn't actually a lesbian romance, it was a straight romance. I know, shock horror. And it was really good. I really enjoyed it. And And then I sort of had a look in Lesvik and thought, hey, people do write Christmas romances. And so I thought I must write one. And so I did. But Christmas, yeah, so Christmas reads new to me. So I'm still catching up, frankly, because I only discovered them 3 years ago. And I like to read a Christmas book. Well, actually, that's not true. I'd say I like to read a Christmas book at Christmas, but I read them all year round. That's the truth. You can see that in my sales as well. You might think people only read Christmas books at Christmas, but it's not true. My All I Want for Christmas sells all year round. So there are plenty of Christmas lovers out there, clearly. So here are my picks for Christmas reads for this year, if you are in the mood for a Christmas read. First up, Jerry Hill with her book Chasing a Brighter Blue. Now, this is Jerry Hill, so you know what you're getting. You know you're in safe hands because it's Jerry Hill, everyone. She's written about, you know, a gazillion books, and she lives in on a hill in Colorado, and she's fantastic. I haven't read a bad Jerry Hill book, I don't think. So that she's had some comedy titles, but I haven't read a bad one yet. So if you ignore the moose on the cover in a Santa hat, not sure what the designer was doing there. Let's put a Santa hat on a moose. But anyway, the book is better than that, trust me. Set in the hills of Colorado, it features traumatized photojournalist Regan, who wants to get away from it all at a resort hotel, and Shelby, whose sister happens to be marrying Regan's brother at said resort. Neither of them are looking for love, obviously, but if you put a couple of lesbians in a resort hotel with a lot of snow and a moose and a Santa hat, what are you going to get? Love. L-O-V. Love in flashing letters, everyone. So buy it and be put under Jerry Hill's spell is my advice. I loved it. It was enthralling. So Jerry Hill, first book on the list. The second book on the list is Another Holiday Banker is Jay's Under a Falling Star. Now, while this is not exactly a holiday-themed book, it does start off at Christmas and it ends at Christmas the following year. So that's good enough for me, frankly. It's got a Christmas tree as an integral part of the plot. So, yeah, works for me. This is a really charming tale of a workaholic and the new girl in the office. And the new girl sees the softer side of the workaholic woman. It's a tale of class and status, love, and also getting caught in a hot tub. And as everyone knows, class, status, and love equals winner. So this was my first ever J book, and I haven't actually read one since then, but I don't know why. I've just got too many other books to read. But I will, because this, I really loved it. It won't be my last one. So J, Under a Falling Star. Next up is Amy Dunn, who released Seasons Meetings this time last year, I think. And it was, or maybe it was 2 years ago, can't remember. Anyway, she'd just done it when I interviewed her for the podcast. So Amy is one of my first guests on the podcast. She's in the first, like, episode 5 or 6, I think. Seasons Meetings has an image of her dog Kimmy on the front cover, which is beyond cute. And it's another tale of a workaholic, this one's called Catherine, who's forced to spend Christmas with her family. Now, the catch is that her family live in the wilds of Scotland and she doesn't. So she's got a drive there, a long drive. She breaks down and she picks up a beautiful passenger along the way because it's a lesbian romance, everyone. Come on, get with it. Anyway, they're pushed together and they get to know each other, and it's a romance. So I think we know where that road trip is heading. But hurrah for romance in the snow. Frankly, I can't get enough of romance in a car and in the snow. So hurrah. Next book on the list is Jen Silver's Christmas at Winterbourne, which is new out this year. And it's a gentle observational drama set in an old rambling house in Yorkshire, which is now a lesbian retreat. There's a truckload of characters to get your head around, but once you do, you'll find you're a guest at the house too, along with all the characters, young and old, and the newly blooming romances and the heartbroken. It's Christmas at Winterbourne. It's an easy read. It draws you in and has a truckload of cracker jokes as well to boot. So if you fancy pitching up at a lesbian retreat in Yorkshire, snowball fights, skinny dipping, and flowing champagne, give this one a go. I enjoyed it. Also a classic for this time of year for me is Georgia Beer's novel Fresh Tracks, which again is an ensemble piece. and it centres around a group of friends getting together at Amy's cabin in the woods for the week between Christmas and New Year. Now, again, there's a romance and heartbreak for the couples and singles, along with Amy's pesky 20-something niece who has a hot crush on one of Amy's friends. Now, this is a brilliant book. I've loved it for years. I read it ages ago and I've reread it a few times. And I defy you not to feel the same. In fact, I want to go to Amy's cabin in the woods and I want to spend the week in between Christmas and New Year with all her friends. Unfortunately, it only exists in Georgia Beer's head, so damn it. I can't cry. Life's not fair, you know. Life is not fair. Finally, I can't leave my Christmas roundup without a shout out for my own Christmas book. All I Want for Christmas is the start of the Torrin Holly series that spanned the whole of 2016 and is due to finish in January 2017. In this one, the first one, Tori Hammond wants a girlfriend for Christmas and she gives herself a month to find one. Cue hilarious dates, first love turning up until suddenly a new option opens up right before Holly's eyes. What has she been missing all this time? It's a Christmas romance. It's set in London and, frankly, it's going to warm the cockles of your heart and make you want to eat mince pies, drink more wine and put on lots of Wham. There's nothing bad about that. And finally, if you fancy a free Christmas romance, and who doesn't, then head over to clairelydon.co.uk and download It Had To Be You. It's a 20,000-word Christmas novella. Put your name and address in the pink box at the top of the page, and I will send you the book for free. Simples. Well, that's the end of this Lesbian Book Club. I hope you enjoyed my roundup of the year thus far. Now, as well as doing my top Christmas lesfic picks, and try saying that after a few drinks, top Christmas lesfic picks. See, look, I'm a pro at this tongue twister art, right? Anyway, my top Christmas picks, I've just spelt them out for you, so, you know, rush out and buy them. But I also thought I'd give you my top five books for 2016. Now, bear in mind, I don't really read anything bar romance or sort of general lesbian fiction. So if you're a science fiction fan or a, well, there is one mystery thriller in my top five. So, but if you're a science fiction fan, you might not agree, but this is just my take on 2016 and the books I've read. So, I think my, top five would go something like this. I really enjoyed, G. Benson's Flinging It. Now, G. Benson just has a really easy writing style and her dialogue is some of the best I've come across. Flinging It is not won't be everyone's cup of tea because it was a book about a lesbian having an affair with a woman that she works with who's married to a man. And, you know, that is the whole book, really, them trying to work out their relationship and how they can take it from there. So a lot of people don't like affairs in books in lesfic for some reason, so it might not be your cup of tea, but it was very different to her first book that she brought out last year, which was my book of the year hands down, which was All the Little Moments, which was so emotional I was sobbing every 5 minutes throughout it, but it was brilliant. This one, very different, but still has just such authenticity running through it, and emotional but still but in a different way. So I really liked that one. I also really loved Catherine Ryan Hyde's The Language of Hoofbeats. It was just terrific. It's a family saga, beautifully written and really well paced as well. I read this one because it kept coming at the top of the lesbian fiction charts in the US all through this year. Every time I did a roundup, there was Catherine Ryan Hyde's book, and it's got something like a gazillion reviews, so I thought I should read this, and I'm really glad I did. The book is about a lesbian couple who are, and it's kind of about their relationship. It's not a romance, it's just like a general fiction, but they fostered kids who've had difficult times, and so it's about the different children in their lives as well. And it's all about their relationship and how the kids affect their relationship and vice versa. It's very touching and it's just really worthwhile. So I'd recommend that one. I also really loved Carrie Hunter's Dark Peak series. Cold to the Touch and No Good Reason, I believe they're called. Don't quote me. As I said, I don't really read a lot of thriller mystery stuff. I've read a couple of other ones this year, and honestly, I didn't really enjoy them. So I don't really tend to do it. But I did go to a crime writing festival a couple of months ago this year. And that was quite interesting. And I think maybe in 2017 I might try and read a few more. Maybe I just haven't read the right ones. But clearly, I love Carrie Hunter's books. If you haven't read them, I really recommend them. I think that the weird thing is, though, I really enjoyed them, but I think the thing I enjoyed the most was the characters and the interaction between the two leads, the policewoman and the doctor. So they're like best friends and on-off lovers. So I think I really enjoyed their interactions more than I enjoyed the actual thriller bit. So if I can have a bit of a romance in a thriller, maybe I can go there. So yeah, well done, carry on those. I also really loved Claire Ashton's Poppy Jenkins. I think when I had Claire on the podcast earlier in the year, I was telling her this, but I don't see how you can fail to love Poppy Jenkins, really. And it was really worthy of all the honours it's scooping. It's set in the Welsh Valleys, and that's my terrible Welsh accent. It's funny, it's frothy, it's charming. It's very warming. It's like watching the Great British Bake Off, but in literature form. There's nothing not to like about Poppy Jenkins, really. And Claire Ashton's well known for her darker stuff, but the last two books have been more sort of romantic comedies, I guess, and she's very good at those too. I think this is her best book to date. And I think my favourite book of 2017 would have to be H.P. Monroe's Saving Grace. H.P. Monroe is the follow-up to Grace Falls. Now, if you read and liked Grace Falls, you're going to love Saving Grace, because it goes back to the town of Grace Falls and you get to meet all the characters that you fell in love with in the first book. I hadn't read the first book when I read Saving Grace, and I have to tell you, you can enjoy it as a standalone as well. Saving Grace is romantic, it's sexy, it's funny, and the town that it's set in, Grace Falls, kind of reminded me of the Gilmore Girls, because it had such a cast of characters and oddballs, and they were all fantastic and funny and in their own right. And of course, it also had a central romance running all the way through it, and a lot of action. And again, H.P. Monroe's just got a knack for dialogue and for laugh out loud moments. So read Saving Grace and lol your way through the end of 2016. So they are my top five picks for books I've read in 2016. And if you haven't read them, I hope you give them a go. And that is the end of this Lesbian Book Club and the final one of 2016. So thank you so much for joining me throughout 2016. I've had a really great time interviewing all these fabulous authors and reading loads of great lesbian fiction. And I'm looking forward to doing it all again in 2017. So I hope you'll come with me on the Lesbian Book Club journey as we trundle on into our third year. Who would have thought that would happen? But no, I'm really enjoying it. So I hope you are too. And do get in touch with me and let me know if there is someone, a lesbian fiction author, that you would like me to interview. You can get in touch with me at mail@clairelydon.co.uk. So please do. And if you fancy dipping into any of my books, the All I Want series, the London series, Nothing to Lose, or The Long Weekend, you can find out more at www.clairelydon.co.uk, or you can look me up on Amazon, Kobo, iTunes, Barnes & Noble, Google Play, or you know, any of the other digital outlets, really. I'm in libraries, I'm on weird and wonderful subscription services in the US that I've never heard of, so you know, check me out. I'm also on Twitter if you're a social media person, so at Claire Lydon, very cryptic. Come on down and get on board the Twitter train with me. I'm also on Facebook, Claire.Lydon, and Instagram at Clairefic. Thank you so much to Denise at My Lesbian Radio for hosting and producing this podcast. It's much appreciated. I couldn't do it myself because I'm a technophobe. I'm not really. I like to think of myself as a technophobe, but, you know, being a digital person who sells in the digital space, I have had to overcome my my technophobia, so I could probably do it. But it's nice to have, nice to sort of be on the Lesbian Lounge platform, because it's such a great platform. And make sure you tune in to the Lesbian Lounge with Denise for all the latest LGBT news, views, interviews and gossip. So join me in 2017 for more hot book club action. The next guest up is A.L. Brooks, whose book The Club was the erotic hit of 2016. And I've also got a bunch of people already booked in for the first four shows. So have no fear, I'll be back next year. Have a great Christmas or great holiday season and New Year, and I'll see you back then. And if you have 5 minutes, please do go and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, or however you're listening to this podcast. All right, take care. See you next year. Bye.
Spirits up, we're here tonight, and that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The party's on, the feeling's here, that only comes this time of year. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The choir of children sing their song. Right, the spirit's up, we're here tonight.